To the Word of God is a mystery. To His sons, a revelation. For He has made us a kingdom, a priest to reign on the earth forever. Join us as we expose you to this revelation through God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selma,
our Eternity in Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.
Spirit of the Lord, you are here in our midst. Let's hold hands everywhere, inside and outside. Let's just connect as we pray in the Spirit. Make sure you are praying. Are you praying? Those online, connect, connect and pray. Shaba kota sadabala kota prianda gadas. Zedebakatos kala prianda dabush. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace. Linde kapasata baka pratako sadabariada gato freske de baladus. Jesus, we bless you. Manda kaparosa da bakote shege de beledebos. Shakate parakata pradagata parada bakasa da bredegate bakata praskata balus. Shebros kabaushata rakota sabredishka labaria da bogos. Jesus, we exalt you. The healer, deliverer. Zibros kaparushata purianda kata fraskata baladabos. The captain of our salvation, the one who can turn anything around, we bless you.
Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 is the Lord, is the Lord God Almighty. Is the Lord God Almighty. My life is full. My life is full. My life is full. Hey, and the people say, holy, holy, and the people say, holy, 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 and the people say, holy, 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 is the Lord, is the Lord. My life is full of your glory. My life is full of your glory.
Prophesy to yourself.
My life. is full of your wonders. My life is full, yeah. My life is full. Full of your wisdom. My life is full of your
wisdom. Holy Spirit, we declare tonight that you have absolute unrestrained access to our spirits, to our minds, and to our bodies. For you are the one given to us by Jesus to help us understand the kingdom, to help us understand his power, to help us understand the majesty and the realities of the Spirit. We thank you. We honor your presence. We honor your wisdom. Lord, I pray that tonight you will open us up again to the mysteries of the kingdom. May we encounter your power. May we encounter your light. Turn us into signs and wonders. Do this and bring glory to the Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please keep standing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Just two verses. And then we'll sit down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul made a statement. He said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. Number one. And then he calls them stewards, custodians. A steward is one who has been trusted with something. There are men that the Bible calls stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards. Like I give you a Bible, I say, please hold it for me. And every time they are looking for that Bible, they make reference to you because you have been made a steward. In Matthew 25, he made others stewards of his financial resources. Is that true? So the Bible says, let a man, please keep it there, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. But then much more than that, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful in what? Faithful in communicating those mysteries. Moreover, it is required that if at any point by the grace of God, you are made a steward of any dimension of the mysteries of God, your assignment among other things is faithfulness. To make sure that you continually communicate those mysteries until the people that God has committed to your care rise to the reality. You see, stewards are dispensers. The whole idea is not for them to keep it. It is that it flows to the people. It's just that by the election of grace, they are the communicators of this reality. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Not stewards of preaching. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you the truth with all humility. There are preachers, but there are stewards of the mysteries of God. Are we together? You know that a dimension of God was allocated to certain personalities, and the Bible encourages them to be faithful, unbending, ensuring that people enter that dimension. I'd like you to open your mouth and cry to God in 1 minute and say, Lord, the dimension of the mystery that has been committed, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Are we praying? Lord, we thank you and we accept with all humility the privilege of being stewards of the mysteries. Stewards of the mysteries, the secrets of God. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Good evening, everybody. We're in for a serious time tonight. Just smile at someone close to you and say good evening.
Are we together? Praise the Lord. It's always my joy to bring the word of the Lord. I remain faithful to this task. He grants grace in Jesus' name. I just want to specially appreciate Honorable. Honestly, it was a big surprise. God bless you, sir. Praise the Lord. All the way from Adamawa State through Abuja, and he gave us a big surprise. God bless you, sir. Thank you. John Terry from Adamawa State House of Assembly. God bless you, sir. The Lord honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In this kingdom, we rise not just by desire, but how much light we have accessed and engaged. Not only accessed. I used to say accessed alone, but I found out that was not very accurate. We rise in this kingdom not just by how much light is available, but how much light we have accessed and engaged. You can access it, meaning you are not in ignorance of his operation, but not engage it, you will not see anything. We rise in this kingdom, brothers and sisters, on the strength of the light, the illumination, the precepts of the kingdom that we have both accessed and engaged. Accessing it is a product of humility and desperate pursuit, but engaging it is the product of faith. Accessing the word is not faith. It gives you potential to manifest faith until you begin to engage the word. I've said it that faith is simply a product of understanding, obedience, and courage. Understanding. You cannot act upon what you do not understand sustainably. Obedience. The ability to do to the latter and the courage to stay there regardless of the temporary results that you see. Are we together? So may I remind us again that desire is not enough to rise in the kingdom. I desire to encounter the anointing. Wonderful. But that in itself will never expose you to dimensions of the anointing. I desire to encounter the spirit of revelation. Wonderful. But that will not bring you into those dimensions. I desire to walk in kingdom wealth and prosperity. Wonderful, but that will not bring it that way. I desire to live long. I desire to live strong. I desire to be a leader. I desire to be great. Our society is full of desire. That's wonderful. It's a good starting point. Except for the fact that desire alone will not amount to anything. People desire to be anointed. They desire to be blessed. They desire to receive miracles. They desire deliverance. They desire healing. But they stop at the level of desire and then believe that that's all they need to do. No. Desire sponsors the appetite and the fortitude for pursuit. When there is desire, you will defy every excuse. You will defy every consequence and pursue. Your pursuit gives you access. Your desire gives you the inner strength, the tenacity, the staying power to pursue information, pursue light, pursue an encounter. Are we together? Then if and when you have that encounter, you have access to it now. The next thing is to put your understanding to work, to engage that truth you know. The engaging part is where I truly believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has failed very well. I have said it again and again that I don't believe the Church of God is in ignorance necessarily. By the grace of God, the servants of God scattered around Nigeria, Africa, and the world have done well, commendably well, in being faithful dispensers of the mysteries of the kingdom. Are we together? Yes. We give that credit to all the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, and all the people who have contributed in supplying dimensions to the body of Christ, bridging the ignorance that is in the body. But the results have not been very significant because we have stopped at the level of access. And we believe that the moment you find truth, automatically It should produce result. No, sir. No, sir. Truth must be engaged. Engaged to produce. This mic has great potential to amplify my voice so that people can hear both within this vicinity and then through the power of the internet across the nations of the world. But until this device is engaged accordingly, not engaged as you wish, there is a pattern. Engage accordingly, then it releases the full strength of it. I can drop this mic and shout, and there is a mic that is capable of amplifying my voice, but I can turn and live a very, very hard life. I have access to the mic, but I have not engaged it accordingly. Is that true? So please let us deliver ourselves from this it's a combination of pride and folly that sweeps across the body of Christ, that because we have accumulated a compendium of a lot of knowledge, it automatically means that our lives will be a reflection. No, sir. Accumulation of spiritual information does not produce results. It is the supply of the grace and the advantage of that grace that you take to engage. Engaging is very important. To engage means to put the word of God to work. You engage it and stay there. Then it is at the point of engaging the word that God's integrity is committed. There are many people, when you teach on tithing, they will help you finish the message. But they don't engage it. They don't do it. They do it occasionally. How about those who do not engage the power of speaking the word in faith? How many people know about the mystery of a dance, the mystery of praise? How many people really do it? Is that true? It is the doing. That's why when an evangelist finishes preaching, he doesn't say, now that you have listened to me, you are going to heaven. You can be in that crusade ground and go to hell. You can even be part of the organizer and still go to hell. At the end of it, he gives room for engaging. Are you here and you want to give your heart to the Lord? And then people come out. It is only those who come out that we pray for. We bless everybody, but we pray for those who come out as a sign that the message has touched them, they have understood, and they have responded. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says that Paul and Peter and John, they were on their way to the temple, and whilst they passed the beautiful gate, the Bible says they saw a man that had been crippled from birth there at the gate, asking for alms. And the Bible says that he requested that they helped him, you know, like beggars would do. And then Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold I do not have any, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, he said, rise up and walk. Access. But the man was there. The Bible never said he got up. Then the Bible says, Peter, help me, Pastor Alpha. Peter held his hands and forced him to engage. You see, it is at the point of obedience that the power is released, not when the word just comes. This is the dynamics of results. Until the word of God is engaged with faith and understanding, the word of God is as barren as whatever it is. So the Bible says he held his hands, and while he motioned on him to rise, you see that? At that point, the Bible says he leaping stood. That guy would have remained there and the apostles would have gone. The power of God hovering round. How about God? Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says there was darkness, from the Hebrew word tohu wa bohu. Darkness, confusion. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God, the very force that is responsible for results and creation, was hovering round. But no change happened until God said. And God acted. He engaged and said, let there be light. Be light. Appear. Reappear. And then there was that, and he said it and he saw it. Believers are largely not in ignorance. So while we seek to open the body of Christ to greater frontiers of revelation,
I am very concerned about our engaging the ones we know already. Because the truth of the matter is that if we commit ourselves diligently, our life should begin to command certain levels of notable results. You see, the Bible talks about a certain group of people. It says they are ever learning. Is God blessing us already? Ever learning, meaning that they have an appetite, and that's supposed to be a good thing. An appetite to explore. Let's go deeper. Wonderful. Let's go higher. Wonderful. But the question is, what do you do with all the conferences and conventions and meetings and Sunday services, Wednesday prayer meetings? Many believers receive prophecies, they receive words, they study the Bible, they read books, they have volumes and volumes of jottings, access, but they do not engage. And so at the end of it, they are disappointed, they are angry at themselves and at God. And they are almost tempted to say, Lord, your word did not work. And God says, no, 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 let's be fair. Show me what you did. From January till now, how many times did you tithe? Say, Lord, let's not talk about that one. Just did you bless me or not? And God says, look at it. Lord, you didn't heal me from the pain. And God said, did you do what was told to do? The day an instruction was given to celebrate and praise. When the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. How many times did you commit yourself to obeying it? Rejoicing not just as what you want to do, but as a key to your breakthrough. Are we together? Engaging the word. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the kingdom of God, that you have to become like a child. Do you know why? In our civilized 21st century society, where we are so right conscious, we don't want anybody violating on anything. Don't violate me. I'm a citizen. I'm intelligent. I went to school. We are so right conscious. It's very difficult for us to submit ourselves to the simplicity of the truth of God's word. Are we together now? The word of God declares, this is what must be done to receive this outcome. We argue. We explain intellectually. We bring all kinds of even spiritual and theological dissertations to explain away the simplicity. And God says, well, I'm not the one in need. You're the one who is looking for the solution. Look how difficult we make it to get the anointing. Look how difficult we make it to be prosperous. Look how difficult we make it to rise. Look how difficult we make it to get the power of God. Let me tell you the truth. The difficulty is that I think sometimes we preachers do not show people where to engage the word. We dispense the word, but at the end of it, we do not leave our sermons with the action points, the very point. And that's where members don't like. That's why we like prophecies a lot, because it's an extension of our desire to refuse to act upon the word. Most members hate it when you commit to them and say, okay, I have shown you. This is now how you engage. And they say, no, can't you just, what is, prophesy this thing and let me move forward. I don't know how many people I counsel and I tell them, oh, apostle, this is what is going on. This is this and that. And I tell them, okay, go to the media stand, pick one or two messages, listen to it and come back. I see how they turn and greet somebody and just move around. And highest they check around and see if there is an opportunity for a joke. And they, you know, believers were spiritually lazy. Not because we don't fast and we don't pray. But that point of engaging the word. One of the greatest blessings of the life and the ministry of Bishop David Oyedepo in my life is that, among other things, his nature of dispensing the word is such that he shows you what to do. Good master, the rich man said, what must I do to be saved? He wasn't saying, can I save myself? Lord, I know that it is within your character to partner with men. Where is my own part of the deal? We hate this talk. And you know, the Western world, may God bless them, we have received so much from them, but I think that this error of allowing God to do everything to show his sovereign, claiming that whether we add anything to it or not, it cannot be done. No, brothers and sisters, listen. The Bible says the heavens, even the heaven of heavens is the Lord. It says, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. There will always be a cooperation, a partnership
between God and men for anything serious to happen. God is still sovereign, but he has chosen to limit himself so that men can also be reflectors of his glory. Please learn this. If anything is to change in your life, it is not all up to God. There is a path where you have access to light and then engage that light. Access to it and you engage it. Not access alone. We have done pretty well in understanding it. So as I dispense these truths by the grace of God, alongside all the men and women of God scattered in this nation and around the world, please, I'd like us to make a commitment that we will not only be hearers, will not only be receivers in terms of just hearing it into our ears, but that we will always search for the areas that will require our own partnership. Your partnership with the Word of God does not negate what God has done. Your partnership with the Word of God is what makes it your experience. Until you partner with the Word of God, it remains a prophecy or a promise. It is your engaging the Word that converts every promise to your testimony, to your experience. Right from the foundations of the earth, the Lamb has been slain. But the day you hand over your life to Jesus, that's the day salvation becomes your experience. Is that true? The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. But the day you hear the word, you receive it and engage appropriately. The Bible says again and again that the Lord gives men power to prosper. But this is not our experience for many of us in the body of Christ. The day we are willing to not only receive the precepts, but sustain the grace. You see, this is the true idea of grace. I told you grace is like love. Grace has love, has depth, height. That's how grace is. There is a dimension of God's grace that is his unmerited favor. Or unmerited access. That means God kept that dimension exclusive to himself because there is absolutely nothing any man can do. For instance, the grace that saves men. Are we together now? There is nothing a man can do by his own strength to save himself. You can only partner. But there is a dimension of grace that is an empowerment to do. You will do the doing. It's just that the energy is not yours. Now, this is a dimension of the grace of God that the body of Christ has not understood. So he empowers you with a capacity that is more than what you ordinarily would do. Then he will grant you grace. So he supplies that grace. Are we together now? Yes. If I prophesy to Pastor Alpha now, I am doing the speaking. It is willing. He's not opening my mouth. I'm opening my mouth by myself. But I am communicating an intelligence that is not given to mere men. That intelligence, you call it the gift of the Spirit, you call it the prophetic, is what the Bible calls grace. The power to do. The power to do. Bless you, sir. Are we together? If we begin to pay attention to engaging the things we already know, brothers and sisters, I submit to you that our lives will be 1,000 times better than it is in every wise. The problem, truly speaking, is not ignorance. I told you again and again, and I'll continue to say it. I do not believe the body of Christ as a corporate entity is in ignorance. There are still greater lands to conquer in the spirit. There are still deeper dimensions that God will open us. But you see, the system of God is, he studies what you have done with what he has given you first. And that qualifies you to receive more. The parable of the 5, 2, and 1 talent. The Bible says that when he granted unto them stewardship, the one with 5 talents engaged. Correct? The one with 2 talents engaged. The one with 1 talent just buried it and left it there. When the master came for accountability, he said, well, you were a hard man. You like reaping where you don't sow. So I just thought, instead of wasting my time, I kept it on the ground. I can go and remove your thing, collect your thing. The Bible says they collected it from that man and gave it to the one with 5 talents. So you see, increase is a product of doing something with the grace and the dimension God has given you. A pastor who will not pastor 2 members or 10 members with all his heart and bless them and sits down pasting pictures of a million members is joking and dreaming. A man of God who will not engage diligently, God gives you 10,000 naira. You mismanage it carelessly. You do not find out the principles of God. There's nothing in it for God. There is no system of accountability and wise use of it. You can't sit down and be mesmerizing on 1 million, 10 million. God does not work like that. Are we together? How about anointings? There are men of God who admire, their whole assignment is more power. And God says, calm down. The grace I've given you is enough to save souls. Even if it can't heal sick bodies now. Show how you have engaged that grace enough to be able to open you up to other access. And say, Lord, what is salvation? Anybody can do it. Then God grants you the grace for intercession. And he said, Lord, that one is too hard. I need power, direct, raw power to just prophesy or lay hands. And God says, no, it will never work that way. Never work that way. God is revealing to us, as simple as what I'm sharing is, God is showing us the reason why the issues of our lives don't change. It's not because the word of God has failed. It is because we seldom engage the word. We complain. We receive the word. Let me tell you what most of us do. You know, when people complain about certain areas, I ask them, have you listened to this my teaching? Before I finish, they smile. And the person is not getting the result, and he won't listen now. He says, have you listened to evidence of genuine intimacy? They help you finish it. And you look at this guy, and you know that this guy doesn't know God for sure. Are we together now?
Yes.
Then you tell him, go and listen to it. And he plays around while he's just listening, distracted, doing a lot of things, gisting with friends, and then catching up. And then he tells you, sir, I just finished. There are certain teachings, 1 hour teaching, but I finished them in 3 days. 1 hour teaching in 3 days. Because every five minutes, I'm stopping. Jesus, something just entered my spirit. I see. I was studying something there and I almost jumped from my bed. I said, yeah, what is this? He said, I've not read this Bible before. I had to look at it again. I found my Bible, drilled the thing again. I don't know what I caught years ago that made me draw it, but that ink was already fading. I drew a fresh one to remind me that this is a fresh revelation. What? This is the Bible? Opened up another light for me. You finish a 3 hours message. You never pause to listen, to learn. Even when something is very powerful, you are just like, wow, just continue. Even the way you study in school, brothers and sisters, that's not how you do well. You pause. The psalmist will say, sila. Pause. Ponder. Think. Write if need be. Pray if need be. Hallelujah. If you don't like what I'm saying, forget about results. God is not a herbalist. Hallelujah. Yes. Look at the aspects of your life. You will see that there are certain areas you are in total ignorance. But you will see that there are certain areas you already have the requisite knowledge, truthfully speaking. You already know what to do, and the grace has been supplied. But that spiritual inertia, that laziness to comply accordingly and stay until results manifest, that's what causes a lot of trouble. What do you have in your house? Nothing except a cruse of oil. And the prophet said, that's it. Madam, this is what I want you to do. Go. Why didn't the prophet prophesy? Vessels, find your way to this poor woman's house. Say, madam, carry the energy you have left. And go and borrow vessels. He said, borrow not a few. When she came, she met him and said, sir, I've done as you have said. He said, now you qualify for the next instruction. Close your door. She would never receive the next instruction if she did not obey the last one. Is God speaking to us?
Yeah.
And he said, close the door. When you close the door, start engaging the oil. The oil has capacity to give you any kind of miracle. But when engaged, and the Bible says she kept pouring and the kept multiplying. How about the widow in Zarephath?
When the prophet came, he said, "Woman, how are you? Fine, sir. Water, please." "Ah, I don't have much, but I'm a generous woman. And just bake the remaining bread for me." He said, "We're about to eat with my son to die." He said, "Madam, I'm here not because I'm hungry. I'm here so that he will survive. So just handle this treasure is in earthen vessels. You better quickly come and feed me first." The woman would have said, "You are such a heartless and stupid man. You are the prophet they've been talking about. You are a wicked man. I will make sure I tell all those who have you. You see me and a child. You don't even love women. And start another funny women movement and say, look, there are prophets who don't, they collect things from women." And the Bible says that she, her engaging that thing, all of a sudden she turned and discovered that the flower. I'm showing you how this works. How about 3 days? They spent 3 days on the mountain. And then the people said, "These guys are hungry. There will be commotion here now." And Jesus said, "Feed them." Feed them. Even a year's worth of food. No miracle could happen until there was something from men. And Andrew found a young boy and carried his bread, his lunch box, as they call it. And all of a sudden, Jesus lifted it and gave thanks, and there was multiplication. Who taught you that things happen by themselves? It is the dynamics of the workings in terms of God's part that is none of your business. The Bible says, just as you do not know the way bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, nor the way of the wind. That's how you cannot tell the work of God. There is a part of this equation that you can never know. It is sponsored by the wisdom of God. For instance, how your destiny helper will come is not your business. Your own is to engage what brings them. Your destiny helper can be a donkey. A donkey needs to be missing for you to find Samuel. Doesn't matter. You think if God asks Saul to choose how he will receive the anointing, will he choose the disappearance of a donkey? Leave the acting to God. Your own is obey to the latter, and then you will watch God use anything to act that drama until you receive the anointing. Let me tell you where spiritual fatigue comes. When we want to know how, the details. How will I pay my rent? Lord, I know you are faithful, but let's be honest here. And God is saying, me? You are telling me to be honest? Do you believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we don't engage the word at all. At all. "Master, if it be thou, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Really? You want to see a new dimension? I've given you a word. Engage it. Come." All of them stood and said, "Oh yeah." He didn't say, "Peter, come." He just said, "Come." Whoever walked, he said, "Come." And all of a sudden, Peter got up and walked. And it was surprising Peter. "I'm walking." And he was laughing. And all of a sudden, he was about sinking. Many people see the sinking part. They don't see the part that Jesus stopped him from sinking, because he had to be responsible over his word. Peter's mistake at the point of obedience had to be addressed by Jesus himself. If Peter sank, Jesus would be to blame. After all, Jesus knew he was learning. He said, "Come. Obey him and perish. And watch whether you will perish." Listen, learn this. I'm teaching you how faith works. Peter, he held him and said, "No. If you walked on your own, like Jonah was not helped because he was in disobedience. So the whale swallowed him. What bailed Jonah out was mercy." Are we together? These are the systems of the kingdom. This is how it works. Guys, go and preach in my name. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. And Jesus, won't you go with us? Say, no. Just go. I've given you my name. Say, where is it? Say, just believe. Keep going. And when they met the first sick person, my name is, you saw me with that other guy. He really sent us.
I'm not really sure about this. I've not mastered it, but I hope you are not offended if I prayed for you. And Peter laid hands on someone. And all of a sudden, to his shock, Peter said, this thing is working. Let's do it again. They returned back to Jesus and said, hi, Jesus, even the devils that we fear so much were subject to us in thy name. And Jesus said, "That those are little issues. Let's talk about, don't rejoice because of that. Be honest with yourself tonight. Is it really that God has not been faithful, or you have not engaged the word? You have been told that prayer and fasting are keys for true revival and spiritual power. Be honest with yourself. Have you engaged it with understanding? Don't sit there and say, God is not anointing me. What do you think? The anointing is not a charm. You eat anything, anywhere, anyhow, anytime. No, sir. No, sir. How about breakthrough? There are many of us that want breakthrough. You hear people, the fact that God is doing it to one person. Do you know why we allow testimonies? The most important part of testimonies is not the result. It's the bridge between the problem and the solution. What did the person do? That's what your spirit should be sensitive about. For many of us, we wait till the end of it. Then we say, wow, you mean it? This is how I live my life. I don't sit down and tell God, Lord, create the changes. I say, no, Lord, I know. I give you all the praise. Show me my own part. And I stand up and start engaging it. Start engaging it. Start engaging it. What of our family members? Oh, God, will you keep pushing us like this? And God says, no. Listen to Joshua Selman. Oh, God, I don't have the time. Like I was saying, will you keep changing our lives? And God says, you are violating an ordinance. It's not going to change. Husband is standing. Wife is standing. Children are standing. Devil is destroying that family and wrecking their lives. They are arguing with one another and not interested in change. God says, listen, when it comes to this thing, you can't help yourself. It is by a prophet that the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And by a prophet, they were preserved. Even if you are a midwife, when you are about to give birth, you need another midwife to help you. That you are a midwife does not mean you can deliver yourself. Listen to this and understand. There are systems in the kingdom. A time comes when your personal anointing cannot give you the breakthrough you are looking for. Is God helping us? So many people arrogantly sit down and say, what is there? Is it not man of God, man? Is it not the same Jesus that died for us? And they sit down there and their problems continue to compound and multiply. Whereas there is enough grace to trivialize that problem and reduce 10 years of problems in a moment. How long? Please help me. How long? Listen, I think it was in Mina over the weekend. We were preaching for Bishop. It was such an awesome time with him and Bishop Achaya. And I was sharing there. I said, every anointing, listen to me, every challenge has the level of anointing that can address it. That you are anointed is not generic in results. The anointing is levels. When your challenges are higher than your level of anointing or the level of anointing close to you, you're already in trouble. There are three ways to come out of that thing. Grow in the anointing to a level where it can surmount it, or trust God for access to personalities whose price in the spirit has granted them access to the level of grace that can throw away that problem. Brothers and sisters, in my little life, I've had the privilege of seeing what the anointing of the Spirit, how it can rubbish a situation that is within the level, the jurisdiction of that anointing to solve it. Almost in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and that challenge is gone. But I've also seen how frustrated an anointed man can be in the face of a challenge that is higher than your level of anointing. It will rubbish you as if you have never met God. Believe what I'm teaching you. If the mysteries of the kingdom are not engaged, this family now
will get up and say, okay, we have read in the Bible. And let me tell you what happens. They begin to pray. At least it's a starting point. While they pray, the Holy Ghost will take the mother or the father to a scripture and said, study the life of Saul of Kish. Do everything they did. And so they start studying. A donkey was missing. For us, an animal was not missing. Let me show you how the Holy Spirit helps people. What is missing? Joy, peace, love, breakthrough, finances, spiritual upliftment. What did they do? They started moving around and a servant said, let's go and meet a man of God. And the Holy Spirit says, go and do likewise. And they stand up and the Holy Spirit now tells them, look, there's a miracle service coming. You see, the word of God is becoming alive. You are acting. You can sit down at home and say, God has brought it. He said we should go for the miracle service and then give all kinds of flimsy excuses. It is raining. I'm not very happy. I didn't eat well. We were not joyful yesterday. Those things are the ways demon spirits keep people. But when you stand up as you are walking to come, heaven is recording your obedience and already scheduling the system for your miracle. Now, while you are coming, you are not even sure you will meet me, but you are coming anyway. While you are coming, you are not even sure you will have space, but you are coming anyway. Are you seeing how this thing works? You come anyway and you sit down. And to your greatest shock, it was never for you to meet me. While the praise and worship is on, fire lands on your situation. And all of a sudden, you see someone calling you repeated calls and you have to avoid it. After Konya or whatever program, you just go and check and someone is calling you and saying, sir, remember we were supposed to strike a deal and it didn't work. My spirit was moving me and you say, God, this is you. Let me show you how breakthrough happens. Breakthrough is walked. It's like the walking of miracles. You know how you cook food. You don't drop onions, pepper, fish, whatever it is you drop on the table and just shout and say, food cook. No, you walk it. How do you walk it? You get a pot, firewood or whatever you are using. You start engaging. Sometimes it will be painful. As you are cutting something, knife can cut you. But you are more interested in the food than that temporary pain. It's by eating the food, the pain will be healed. So continue. And at the end of it, you have a lovely meal. And everybody who comes around wonders. Brothers and sisters, it is true that God gave grace, but you walked it. Are we together? This part of engaging the word is what I want. I want to drum it into our spirit. Nothing will change in your life just because you are a Christian. The word of God must be engaged. Hallelujah. Sacrifices, praise, several things. You must engage the word of God. There are some of us here, you have never sown a seed. I'm not saying to me, please don't get what I'm saying. But you have never, most of us is 95% receiving, 5% giving. You will be broke forever. That's the equation of poor people. Are we together? Yes. Give me, your own is to collect. Lord, who is going to give me? And the Lord says, when are you going to create your own harvest? Have you not heard that if the cloud is full of rain, if you use a spoon to send vapor to the air, you will spend your whole life. There are other people who don't allow challenges to last. They walk it till it gives up. They walk it till it gives up. I believe in results. I am motivated by results. I'm very, very outspoken about results. I'm not one of those people who lie to you and say, it doesn't matter. It matters, sir. Results matter. Human beings were designed to remain motivated when what you engage produces. Is that true?
Yes.
When a woman gets pregnant, we are happy for her pregnancy. And we can endure everything that the pregnancy carries, provided there will be a child at the end. Is that true? Yes. When somebody, like the people sharing now, the lady that was sharing about the rigor that she went through, you know. Now, the most important thing is that finally, the result is cleared and all of that. When you do things, the pain is when you put so much energy and time, and then it does not yield results.
This is what I want to cancel from our life. Hallelujah. Breakthroughs are predictable. The help of God is predictable. The mercy of God is predictable. Results are predictable. Please, my brother, my sister, let me beg us in the name of Jesus to not sit down and hope things change. I'm delivering you from it, because after 10 years, it will remain like that until it changes. There are people who, as of January this year, wrote down a list of certain things. They submitted it and asked questions. Lord, how do I engage with you? And right now, God has ticked those things with results. There are others, all they do, every miracle service is, God arise for me, they drop it. Every instruction God gave from January till now, they have not done one. Lift up your hands, they won't lift up. Pray, they won't pray. Celebrate God, dance around all these things. How can I be a child? We left these things. Am I in a party? See that? I told you about dancing. I don't like dancing. It's not anything I admire at all. But it's a key. You know how drugs are. How you swallow drugs. Sometimes when you swallow drugs, especially maybe a syrup, it can be so bitter. Especially when you are giving children. They are trying to deny, but your love keeps them there. Swallow it. When they swallow it, you pamper them later on. Swallow it. Do you pity the child? Say, oh yeah, I'll leave you like that. No. That's how it is. When you are obeying God, don't pity yourself. Oh. No, sir. Don't pity yourself. Abraham carried Isaac and said, up we go. When he kept looking at Isaac, I love you, but this one. See, be careful. Some of us get too emotionally connected to every area of our lives that is difficult for us to get to the next level. You are emotionally connected to your money. You are emotionally connected to your title. You are emotionally connected to whatever. That's why it is difficult for us to give up things to go high. You are emotionally connected to your ministry. My ministry. The word of God works. It is reliable. This is how God has helped us by his mercy to be where we are today. And this is how he will help us to rise. But the key is that we engage the word. The key is that we engage the word. We don't sit down and make God responsible for everything and laugh around and fool ourselves. That's not faith. No. That's not faith. You must take inventory of your life. You'll be surprised to know that this is not even my message this night. I just came and this thing started boiling in my spirit. God is my witness, whom I serve, that I am passionate about seeing every one of us produce results. See, let me tell you, if you are a man of God and you are the only one rising, you are a big failure. Doesn't matter whether it's car, house, no. I rather fail as a person and you succeed. Your success will turn me into a success. You see that? Let me be honest with you in all sincerity. Some of the things I teach you, God has helped me in those areas. So it's not like I'm teaching with any interest for myself. I'm hearing a song in my spirit. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to become a public speaker. You dropped it here. You have not engaged the word. You found a scripture. but you have not done anything with it. Lord, I want to become a man of God, and the only thing you are thinking about is starting a church. You know, sometimes the way we pastors behave is why we keep struggling forever. Brothers and sisters, if you have 8 days to cut a tree, use 7 days sharpening the knife. Use 7 solid days. Stand in the sun and sharpen the knife. I promise you, you will hit that tree once and it will fall. But you can carry a blunt knife, axe, and even if they give you 90 days, the tree will not fall. Hallelujah. Don't jump into things. Take out quality time to engage this thing. Engage this thing. God is calling, let me use you promise come. God is calling promise into ministry, for instance. Go and start a ministry in Delta or start a ministry in US. And then the only thing he does is just says, wow, I have learned enough. You just jump and go to Delta. And after 5 years, you are still roaming around as if God didn't call you. In that 5 years, those who engage the word are swimming in grace. Whereas you are there frustrating the grace of God. After 10 years, you now leave it and say you want to go and join military or police. They say your age has passed. You now say you want to join something else and your life. And you blame God. And God says, no, you refuse to engage the word. I told you time never changes anything. It only reveals. Time reveals whether you have been engaging properly or you have been wasting your time. But God calls this guy now and he sits down. Lord, what kind of ministry are you giving me? Oh, this is this. And he's studying, he's learning, he's building. How do we do church finances in a way that you don't play pranks on people? He's learning. How do we build membership? When members cross 500, how do you manage them? You are learning. How do I grow in the anointing? When I have 3 to 5 sermons to preach every week, how do I manage it with my family life? What if I have a business running? How do I manage it? This gentleman works on himself. I tell you, he gets up and in 1 year, start a ministry, and all the forces that should be there are there. Everything done. Whereas another person is struggling and angry. Now, this is, anger is usually a product of frustration. When you try to do things and you are angry and someone comes and it becomes effortless. You see, one of the proof of mastery is how effortless you are. When you execute your plans effortlessly. How are you doing it? And people begin to coin explanations. I don't want to live a life of a failure. I don't want to. Number one, it does not glorify God. Number two, it's going to waste my time. Number three, there are many people connected to me in the spirit, and my failure is going to affect them and destroy them and tear their lives into pieces. One of my greatest fears, if I have any, is to walk with God for a long time and then to find that the things I've believed I lie. That's why I'm meticulous about the construction of my beliefs. Lord, what I believe about finances, is it accurate? What I believe about the anointing, is it accurate? What I believe about fasting and prayer, is it accurate? I'm not ashamed though. If at any point I find out there is a problem, I'm not ashamed. Lord, let's look at this. This is what I used to believe. But now I'm seeing, I'm learning this. Wow, amazing. I'm growing and you are just. Let me tell you something. There are many anointings to lift our family members, but it is at the mercy of their engaging. They only complain and insult. They insult every anointing that can bring them breakthrough, and they sit down and hope and wish they will learn. You will be surprised, and I don't mean to be sarcastic. You will be surprised to know how many people live within this vicinity who have never received of what God is doing. It will be shocking and surprising.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the trouble is, you are the one who is the patient. Who cries, the patient or the hospital? Please talk to me. When the patient insults the hospital, does the hospital have tears? The hospital will be busy treating those who are ready. Is that true? Lord, I don't want to live my life as a failure. Results can be commanded. This thing has been done before. I'm not asking you where you grew up, whether it's in your village or whatever. I'm not asking what has happened in your life. Brothers and sisters, this anointing we talk about is God's own ability. But are we willing to engage it to produce the required result? Do it honorably and fail, and the Lord will do for you what he did for Peter. He held his hand and lifted him. This is how God brought some of us, my brother, my sister. It's not as if anybody signed and gave any guarantee and said, start ministry. If you need money, we'll support you. Start ministry. If you need members. No. Engaging by faith. When people see the results, they trivialize it. Sometimes people just talk all kinds of things, but then they do not know that these things were engaged. Access is not enough. The word, the truth, the mystery, the principle, the revelation must be engaged. It must be engaged. It must be engaged. There is a part you have to play. Play it and watch God. Watch God arise for you as a mighty God and turn things around for you. Hallelujah. Do you believe what I'm sharing with you? This thing does not take time. It just takes commitment. If I'm building a house, listen, and I have workers building a house for me, and they are working, they start working by 6, and by night, there are those who do night shifts and are working. Is that true? And there is another lazy builder. The workers come by 10, they close by 2. Whose house will be built first? You see that now? The amount of commitment you give to this thing determines the result it will deliver to you. There is no way around it. I watch our fathers of faith and I'm surprised that with the kind of results they command, you still see them engaging this thing. They are working it with all their heart. I was watching a video by Dr. Paul Enenche, and I'm saying this only because he said it. He was preaching this year at Bill Winston's ministry and the Lord's Garden, the magnificent structure that they are building around the airport road in Abuja. And he said just for the zinc alone, just to cover that place, they are spending $16 million. Zinc, not building. $16 million in a time of recession, debt free. Now, only a fool and a stupid person, $16 million will more than answer the request of many ministries times 10. And this is what is used for zincing. So a wise person says, this is the result I'm looking for. It is on earth already, happening in someone's life. So what do? You follow them. Who through faith and patience, what did he engage? Because he was not born like that. As at 1999, God's servant Dr. Paul Enenche was in one room in Abuja. There were people who were in the houses, they are still there today. Because they didn't engage anything. As at 99, he was there with his wife in one room. And all of a sudden rises to do something. There are people still there today. Brothers and sisters, if your life must change, it's not up to God alone. God's power is available. I have indoctrinated myself into being a responsible believer that nothing will ever change, just like that. Hallelujah. What are you doing in partnership with the Word of God? Do you understand the principle and the mystery that connects your challenge or your desire and the outcome? Do you understand? Then if yes, are you engaging completely. The future will show the mysteries and the things that Koinonia is engaging. It's not something to blow trumpet and talk about now, but the future will tell what is being engaged today. You see that? Something I do not know is responsible for where I am. Something I know but have not believed is also responsible for where I am. Something I have believed but have not acted upon consistently is responsible for where I am. While you are seated, can you pray, cry to God and say, Lord, I repent. I've been handing over the responsibility of my results entirely to you. But now I have heard you. I have seen it very clearly that nothing will change by itself. Are you praying? Some of you are looking at others. Forget about them and cry for your destiny. Apostle, I graduated since 5 years ago. Nothing has happened in my life. Show me what you are engaged in first. Let me see what you have done. I thought I would have a job. Who told you you will have a job? Just like that? Show me the mystery you engaged and the mystery you are engaging. Keep praying. Show me what you are engaging. Apostle, I expected that by now I should not be begging for food to feed my family. Show me what you are engaging. Or are you just waiting for things to happen? Show me. Apostle, I expected by now that my ministry should be strong enough financially. Show me what you are engaging. Let me see it. Apostle, I expected that by now I should be flowing at certain levels of the prophetic, certain levels of the anointing. Show me what you are engaging. Sir, I expect that I should be established by now. I should have had a car and a house. Show me what you are engaging. Don't just wish for nothing. I've been coming to church. That's not enough. What have you engaged? Pray. Nothing will ever change, my brother, my sister. Access to truth is not enough. It must be engaged, though. Access to truth is not enough. Apostle, I've listened to all your messages on favor. Wonderful. Have you done what was said in the message? Consistently. Have you done what was said in the message? Having the readiness to judge every disobedience, if and only when your obedience is complete. Let's not turn God to a game player playing pranks and expect strange results. Pray. You don't commit 30 minutes to God, 30 minutes of your life, the remaining part of your life, and you want to carry fire. Which God are we talking about here? Prayer zero, word life zero, passion and hunger for spiritual things zero, and you want to carry the anointing? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Show me the time you commit to study. Show me the time you commit to sacrificing your sleep. Show me how you engage with the word. Show me the videos you watch. Show me the retreats, the times alone that you spend with God. And I can tell you why your result is the way it is. It's not magic. It's not magic. It's not magic. Hallelujah. Listen to me. You know, let me say this honestly. There are many men of God who see ministries that God has blessed with crowds like this, and they do not know the enormous responsibility of pastoring thousands of people. They think all about standing here. Sometimes you see me stand here. Let me confess and tell you truly. Most of the time I stand here, most times I'm waiting on God, is when I go back that I eat something.
There are times that the water you see me take here is the first thing that is entering my stomach as I stand. I'm not saying that's what you must do. After service, you see me stand here to see people. Sometimes past 12. Last week, I went home to one. Don't want crowd if you cannot engage what is going to be there. Are we together now? We want things without the responsibility attached to it. You, before you barely rest, someone has woken you. There is a challenge. When I came, you saw me talking on phone and I called the protocol because they needed to respond to an emergency somewhere. The people don't care that there is service. Listen, let me tell you. For every dimension, there is a price. I wish... I don't know how to make you believe this thing. If you are unwilling to pay the price, please forget about the dimension. There are levels of anointing that when it comes to your life, the moment certain things are not done, it will destroy you. It's better for it to have not come. Believe what I'm telling you. Jonah entered a boat and they started losing things. And when they were checking, they said, "What is making this boat heavy?" Jonah said, "I'm the one who..." If I were not anointed, I would have slept quietly. But because of what I carried, you are suffering for something now. There are levels to not pray for when you are not ready for certain sacrifices. Oh God, open my eyes. Are you ready to pray for everything you see? Because you will see things that will disturb you. You are about to rest and you see a plane crash. You are about to rest and you see a car crashing somebody. And if it happens that way, God will call you and say, "If your eyes were closed, you are free." But hence you cried and said, "Open my eyes." It's not about prophesying, no. There is a responsibility. Oh God, make me rich. Let me be your distributor. And God stands and says, "As you are leaving your house now, carry 50,000. My people are in need of it." "Yes, sir." "Oh God, you said you want to be my steward. Oh yeah, carry it." And somebody comes and while you are talking, says, "Give 5,000 to Sam. There are two little children. Give all of them 1,000. And you are acting like a fool. And God says, "That's how my distribution system works. The day you are not interested, I close the heavens." As simple as that. I see a lot of greedy people admiring blessed people and think that there are people for over 2 months. Your offering is 10 naira. Or 1 year, 10 years. You drink is 5 alive. How much is 5 alive? And then you squeeze as an adult, working class. You come to church with 10, 20 naira and drop it. And say, "But what are these young people doing?" Are you joking? Brothers and sisters, let me submit to you. If you ever try to sow seeds like me, it may kill you in 1 month. I'm telling you this sincerely. "Lord, make me a millionaire." He says, "Are you ready to sponsor 70 children?" He said, no, "I don't want that. Oh God, you gave me only 2. He says, "That's it. Whoever wants it my way must be ready to do my bidding." Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us. Is God speaking to us tonight? Stop claiming things blindly when there is no sincerity. "Oh God, give me an international anointing." Okay, do you have the grace to counsel, to preach 3-5 times a week? Can you be sleeping on the road? Can you be sleeping in the air? That becomes your new bedroom. Can you sacrifice that much? It's not all about putting water and clapping. It's a sacrifice. Let me tell you this. And I stand before the God of heaven. Thank God he's here. You are spiritual people. Less than 15% of my prayers is for myself. God is my witness. Less than 15% for myself. Father, bless your people. Change their story. A text message comes. Sometimes you don't see me reply your text message. It doesn't mean I don't pray over it. Do you have the sacrifice?
Can people come to your house and you carry your last meal and give them everything, and then they don't tell you thank you? And God said, it's none of your business. Leave the issue, is between me and you. Please listen to me, oh. These are the engagings. It's not just about honor. It's not just about sitting. I'm ready to be a man of God. Are you ready for the criticism? Everything about your life is an open book. Everybody criticizes everything. Can you sit down hearing people criticize you and still sleep sound and get up in the morning? Some of you who are so sensitive. I think you stole my phone. How can I be the thief? And you are moving around and you want to do ministry. You must be broken and you must be worked on by God. Is God speaking to us? This teaching is very sincere. Most of us see blessed people and just admire them. And I look at the greed that is in many people's lives. Greed. You can sit down, somebody saying, I've not eaten. There is 1,000 naira in your pocket. You say, go and meet apostle. Go and meet apostle. He likes giving. Just talk to him and he will give you. And this is the person holding 1,000 naira. And you are saying, oh God, when will you visit me? And God said, even scholarship you will not see. For where? Are we together? This is how this thing works. So, send 200 naira recharge card to your mother. You rejected it. Whereas somebody transferred 1,000 to you. And God says, take 200. He says, how many? And it's not like there is an important discussion. And God says, I'm watching your heart. You are not engaging this thing. Let me show us why we are really not getting results. Let's be honest with ourselves. Am I engaging the word? Cain got angry because of Abel's results. And God said, no, this is not about Abel. If you do what Abel did to the latter, will you not get his result? Hear me. It doesn't cost God to raise hell for you. There is something we are not doing that is keeping the heavens closed. There is something a man of God is not doing. That's why his ministry is not growing. There is something a father, a mother, a brother, a sister is not doing. That's why we are perpetually in lack and suffering and penury. Every guy that comes to me leaves in 2 weeks. 5 guys have come. Sister, calm down. Could there be that there's something you are... No. There's nothing wrong with me. Yeah, I just happen to have bad luck with stupid guys. 5 of them stupid? That means something in you is attracting them. Because you draw your kind to yourself. The body of Christ likes passing blames. We blame witches. We blame pastors. We blame government. We blame our parents. Let me tell you, your miracle starts the day you get a chair or go behind one tree and sit. I'm surprised seeing many gentlemen. Their lives are not moving. They are not doing anything. After Koinonia, you are just looking at any sister. Who can I now marry you? This one, that time is going. And there's nothing happening. You see what we're saying? A gentleman who will go and sit down with a biro and your Bible and a tape recorder. Shakatokata. Lord, it can't be this way. The word of God is coming every day. Why is my life like this? I am 31. I am 35. I am 40. I'm seated. I have to beg for Gary. Lord, I love you. Something is wrong. And all of a sudden, you come there. Your friend is calling, say, leave me alone. No, you better leave me alone. Say, did you renew your DSTV? Say, don't near my house. You have been deceiving me for many years. And you sit down, and all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes. This sitting down is what we don't do. We stand up moving around this hustling life, pillar to post. One thing is needful. Sit down first. Stand up as instructed. Don't move around just like that. See, the labor of the fool, the engaging of a fool, wearieth every one of them, because he doesn't know the road to the city. Not every action is profitable. It is the action that is done in obedience and through understanding apostle, I'm anointed. I'm surprised. I organize a meeting and nobody comes. There is something you need to know more about the anointing. It's more than laying hands. Apostle, people come to my church. They receive miracles and go back. That means there is something you need to know about leadership. You have done well knowing about miracles, but there is something you do not know about leadership. Please blast in tongues for 1 minute and say, Lord, I'm tired of this level. I'm tired of this level. I'm tired of this level. I'm tired of this dimension. I'm tired of this faith. Lift your voice and pray. Shabakata katoka sepra katakota sheketa. Lekete prosete katoka sheketa pakarakato sikata. Lord, I know you are ever faithful. Pray. I take responsibility tonight. There is something I am not engaging adequately. Zekete koto soto kata prakatash. Lekete proske sekete marakato sebriada. Hallelujah. Please sit down. The Lord has brought before us several keys, mysteries, secrets that are responsible for certain outcomes. Brothers and sisters, it's up to us. There are lazy people waiting for others to enjoy, to engage it, then they enjoy the benefit. You cannot sit down and be dependent forever. Our little children should be the ones waiting. But an adult, oh, you know that thing they say in Hausa, Ale Baka Musamu. So while you are engaging, I'm resting. After all, you'll be too kind to leave me like that. The Bible says, right from the days of John the Baptist, even until now, the kingdom suffered violence. And the violent will take it by force. Someone who will say, no way, Lord, I will force what is my portion from the realm of the spirit. Life does not deliver anything to careless, laissez faire. If it happens, it happens. No. Everybody who receives anything worthwhile are those who stand in life and force their own, force it down. This passive, I know one day things will happen. We are not angry enough. That's why we have not broken the back of certain things in our life. We are learning. I've shared with you. There are some of us, the reason why we are not getting results in our lives is because we ignore God. I've shared these principles. You don't ignore God and prosper, sir. Okay, I'm a businessman. Me, I'm not into ministry. Ignore God and see. Ignore God and watch the devil rubbish your life. Many business people don't honor God. They honor business, they honor men, but they don't honor God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. How many people start walking, and they don't have time for God? Time for the house of God, no. Time for the things of God, I'm a bit busy. Lord, you know that I'm engaged. And God says, hey, you are engaged. And then the devil comes to rubbish your life and your work. One sickness arises and just destroys you. Somebody in your office looks at you and says, let me see how you will rise to the next level. And that's it. Is they that know their God that shall be strong and do exploits. The fierceness in today's world does not require guessing about God. You must know God. Hallelujah. I've said it humorously. Only God can tell the number of charms and shrines and herbal places that have my names on their altars. Only God knows the people who project me as I sleep to make sure I don't wake up. This man you see is here for a long time. very long time. Is that true?
Yes.
Some of us have refused. We have been drumming mental development and we have refused. So we are mediocre where we are. It's amazing how when the word of God comes, people exempt themselves. Say, this part is not for me. This is the part for me. No. All scripture was inspired. How many? All scripture. God can be talking about mental development. And he can say, me, for me, I'm a man of prayer and fasting. Leave that one for mental development. All those who want to become professors and lecturers. For me, this is his vineyard. And you are there and you find out that because your mindset is thinking wrong, regardless of your results. Listen, being around the truth and not engaging it can destroy you. Because it will bring about familiarity. You are familiar with every man of God, every program, everything. Yet, it will not bless you. Those that were close to Jesus ran away. They were not getting anything. Nicodemus came and met him once in the night and received something that changed his life. Mental development. Mental development. Upgrading your mind. Expanding your capacity to be relevant in today's world and grants you the opportunity to glorify Christ. How about people who do not understand authority? This is the mystery they have not engaged. And that's why the devil whips them left, right, and center. Left, right, and center. They have no honor, no regard for anybody on earth. Some of our parents are like that. Like that. Just say, hey, so man has come to town. Which man? So why are people going to go and see him? What's the spirit? You see? And they start debating it. And the person debating is poor and broke and sick and suffering. He does not know that it is for this cause. Many are weak. Many are sick. And many do sleep. He sits down there and a miracle is close to him. Sometimes in his neighborhood. And he hears Reinhard Bonnke preaching and laughs. He says, is that the wise man you were talking about? What is this one? He says, they said, Baba is about to pray for the sick. Well, don't mind those people. And his kind of case is what is being called. And they are being healed. And Reinhard Bonnke will go back. And the proud man who does not understand authority sits down there. Look, the way we have cheated ourselves because of ignorance of the systems of God. Cheap victories that have been complicated through ignorance. Look at students here. You heard the testimony of one of our ladies last week. No school fees, no nothing. And then result comes out and you are graduated. Haba. There are some of us where our lives are the way it is because there is no excellence to anything we do. We are born again, but everything is mediocre. Everything. Everything. Average, mediocre. Local champions. I'm a tailor. Like who? Well, I'm here. I'm patching here and there. Lord, I need increase. And God says, increase your capacity. Be excellent. Be excellent. So that you can now start making clothes. When you make a millionaire's clothes, you get a millionaire's reward. When you make clothes for somebody who gives you 500 today, 200 tomorrow, 800 today, to pay 3,000, and you are arguing and fight and forgive the person, but you still suffer, you get tired and say, Lord, I've started, I've left this level. I've challenged us towards being excellent. Hallelujah. Excellent. Some of us, relationships, this is the mystery we are not engaging. We know it, but we are not engaging it. Hallelujah. Relationships. Honorable is here. I don't mean to embarrass him, but this man of God that you see, forget that he's a politician. I told you politicians are my friends. I'm intentionally friends with politicians because whoever controls power controls what happens. I'm not one of these foolish people that throw away politicians away. They are my friends. They are my friends. Hallelujah. Jezebel wanted to destroy the people in the land of Elijah. The first thing she did was to marry the king, to make sure she was at the seat of governance. Then she now pushed Ahab, say, "Oh yeah, wait, I'm the one in charge." See that? A true apostolic grace must be able to minister the life and the power of God even at the level of governance. I went for Mubi Crusade. An honorable is here. Do you know, brothers and sisters, this man, as great as he is with his status and all of this, he came for the crusade with his wife, stayed like 2 days together, and returned back. When I go to Yola, sometimes with his own car, carries me in his own jeep and drives around. Praise the Lord. Relationship. If he calls me and says his wife is having headache, you call me. There were calls, but let me show you how I will respond. Relationship. That's what brought Dorcas back to life. When Dorcas died, she was a woman who, while she said, "I can't preach, but I can sew. Madam, you are cold. Let me make sweater for you." When she died, the widow said, "No way. These wicked men, they are all preachers, but they don't take care of us. You better raise this woman back to life for our sake." Hallelujah. Tomorrow, if he becomes a governor, I'm still his friend. Is that true? Yes. Access. That's why when he comes like this, we honor him. What is all this? Everybody is equal before God. It is true, based on your understanding. System that we do not know, that destroys us and rubbishes our lives because we do not know. Are we together? Yes. Relationships. I told you the easiest way to rise in life is relationship. Everything money can pay for, relationships can pay for it. If you use money to pay for everything in life, you are not wise. There are things relationships should pay for. You can't pay for the house, but a relationship can give it to you. I spent time the week before last to talk extensively on relationships. I'm not going to go back, but please listen to that message. I can spend my time talking to you about relationship. That's what happened. John the Baptist had the privilege. His mother, listen, John the Baptist did not study what happened around his birth. When Mary received the prophecy of the angel, she knew it was a strange thing. She had to search for another woman who had a strange experience like her to be able to relate with her. And she found out, she had the gist of Elizabeth and how John came. And when they met, their babies leapt. When John was born, he was older than Jesus, 6 months of course. At the wilderness there, when he met Jesus, for a while he was walking with Jesus, but offense came in. Because some of Jesus' disciples left and became his disciple. And he left, and then he now went trying to look for relevance. He went and started lambasting Herod because he did not know the protocol of the palace. He thought that the palace is the same thing as the wilderness. The way you speak in the wilderness is not how you speak in the palace. There are principles, old preachers, that rubbish themselves in high places and they call it speaking for Christ. There is the wisdom and intelligence. When Paul was in the Jerusalem council with the Sanhedrin, he spoke as a Pharisee. He said, look, I can speak as this and that, but look, now there are Pharisees, Sadducees. Let me bring a point of divide. I'm speaking based on my authority. I'm a Pharisee. Spoke about the resurrection and that place caught fire. Relationships. Many of our parents today know too many people to be looking for a house at their age. Is that true? They didn't raise anybody. they didn't lift anybody. All their friends are successful people. They watch television and tell you, this guy was my friend. Do you know that General Buhari was my classmate? Do you know this one was my classmate? Do you know that Kofi Annan, we drank tea together? Oh God, why have you not been there? What has that relationship done for you? This is why when we do things in church, like turn to one another and give them a nice hug and you are frowning. This investment you are making now of rejecting people will be waiting for you in the future. You will see the person you frowned at in power and glory, and now you will not have the same access again. It is cheaper now than later. You've heard me say we will all be great, but the greater part is that we will all know ourselves. That's the most important part. So that what I do not have, a Jimmy can give me at a platter of gold. Hardship, because there's no relationship. Hardship, because there's no relationship. As a ministry, by the grace of God, God has helped us to enjoy certain privileges with people, with institutions, because of relationships. What have you refused to engage that is punishing you and is destroying you? What have you refused? What do you know and have been wishing will work for you, but you have not engaged it truly? Hallelujah. It's one of the things I respect a lot about my dad. My dad understands relationships in a strange way. He knows almost anybody everywhere. If he's a policeman, he will scroll down. There has to be one policeman he gave bag of rice some years before. If it is prisons, if it is customs, if it's a carpenter, even if it's a truck he does not have that stops, he knows a mechanic somewhere. He knows the one that fixes Peugeot. He knows the one that fixes this. Relationships. Now, it's costly. That's a very busy life. But it's only busy until the day you need those people. One call, and they tell someone else, yes sir, but another, you keep knocking forever, and you say, God help me, God, I helped you since. You misuse the opportunity. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What have you been paying for that relationships would have paid if you engage them? How long will you continue hating people and talking about them as though you are going to live in this world alone? How long are you ready to continue holding grudges? When will you forbear and excel? There are ladies over my dead body. My mother, I will never talk to her. But the blessing in your destiny is in the mouth of that woman. Justified, she did something wrong. But can you ignore everything so that you step into another dimension? Hallelujah. I am passionate about engaging the word. I am passionate. I studied the life of Job because I want to be very prosperous. And I studied his life. I saw things that Job did, that if Job died poor, God would have been a wicked person. I found treasures. I said, this is what Job did. Not the obvious things we see. There were things that Job did. What are you doing? Some of us, these are little children. They never look at you and smile. They look at you and they are afraid. You call them children. Remember, you are not going to die young. You have received the anointing for long life. The children you laugh at today, you are only 10 years older than them, or 20 years, or 30 years. They will soon grow and become adults too, and occupy positions of influence. And you will see that a mistake you did 30 years ago will haunt you and your children and children's children. Is God giving us wisdom? These are the systems that these are success systems. These are success systems. I'm challenging us. This engaging part is what came in my spirit today to talk to us about. Engage the word. Engage the word. Engage the mysteries you know and stay there. Stay there till it produces. Don't engage once and complain. Do you know there was a time in my life I did everything but there was no result? Everything to be done, I cross-checked and it was correct. Once you have done everything, leave God's part to Him. So when people are complaining and say, Apostle, what am I missing? I say, you are not missing anything. Just stay there. Just like that, yes, sir, stay there. God is watching your growth. And He knows that if those blessings come, you don't have the spiritual capacity to take it yet. So He keeps you. And then overnight, you wake up and step into a dramatic dimension of the anointing. And they say, where did He come from? He's always been there waiting. I've been sowing seeds. Continue. It says not to be weary in well-doing. For we will reap in due season. There is a due season if you fail not. If you fail, the due season will come and pass. And you will not see anything. I will never stop sowing seeds. I will sow like a madman until the day the harvest comes. I will never stop engaging my passion for God. I will never stop building capacity. I will respect every man of God and every authority that is producing the results that I'm not producing. Never will I open my mouth to talk about somebody who is producing results that I'm not producing. It's pride of the highest order. No matter how simple and how cheap they sound, they are engaging something that is producing my results. I have a meeting next year, and God has granted me the privilege, and I'll have the privilege to be meeting with, I think maybe for the first time in my life, one of the billionaires in the world, a Nigerian. I look forward to that meeting. I'm preparing for it like I'm writing jam. You say, Apostle, for what? This dishonor we carry is why we never rise. If I sit down with a billionaire and he talks to me for 5 minutes, I will go down my knees and say, thank you, sir. Because it will change my ignorant mind for God's sake and deliver me from the things that have pegged me and my lineage at certain levels. I look forward to that meeting. I've been praying and fasting about it. I say, Lord, this meeting cannot be once. We have to be friends. We have to be what? Yes. Because a friend sticks close than a brother. This brother, sister thing, friends. Hallelujah. I know we think it doesn't matter what I just said. Look at our lives. Look at our families. Have you not seen the rules we have broken for ages? God is faithful. Our lack of understanding His system is what is punishing us. Apostle, why are you teaching all this? So you can serve God. Let my people, release them from this pain so that they will go and serve me. I want, they are, for as long as they are working in the farms, for as long as they are suffering in Egypt, they can't serve me. Say, let my people go so that they will do what? It is my desire to see some of our brothers a few years from now. That when others get up in the morning and are running helter-skelter, you are there with your family. You made a way. That's the worship song playing. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And visitors come to your house discussing survival, and you are discussing kingdom. We have allocated 10 million to this ministry. There is a mission agency. We heard that these people are passionate about souls. And they say, are you a pastor? He said, no, I'm just a brother in church. I have been trained that my entire life is about the kingdom. He said, you better stand up and make ends meet. And Luther continued. I said, no, not in this house. We have demarcated this house through understanding, exempted forever from certain things. Someone comes to your house and say, what's that noise I'm hearing? Say, we have a vigil today. Say, which prophet is coming? Say, no, priesthood, our house, we have vigils. Say, are you not aware that you have to rush? Say, no, God is faithful. God is faithful. And you are praying. And they say, what are you praying for? Souls. What about ends to meet? Say, God, as we settled that long ago. This is in this house, it is kingdom. Do you think this is possible, what I'm saying? You better believe it. Otherwise, you will be another angry person. This is what I want my life to be all about. Let no one deceive you that your whole life should be spent looking for money, then serving God small on the way. It's a curse. Did you hear what I said? It's a curse. You can live a happy life where you sit down and teach your children by yourself because you have time. Junior, come. Daddy is about to teach you how to tithe. Have your envelope. Have your own. You put your own $1 million. The young boy puts his own $100 there. He's learning how to tithe. Daddy, what do we do with this? Son, this is called the law of open heaven. Say after me. And he murmurs whatever he says, what he's learning. By the time that child is 10, he's a millionaire by himself without your influence. And one day he says, Daddy, I was sleeping and I had a voice. And the Lord told me to donate half of my wealth to a mission agency. He says, Son, do it fast. Because his father has understanding. Do it fast. Daddy, I thought I was going to become a doctor, but I had a voice in the night saying I'll be a great man of God. Don't worry, you are covered. Not this morning ceremony. Says, so you are going to the vineyard now. Who is the sponsor? No, that's the mindset they carry about preachers. The moment you say you are preaching, people just look at you and they have a valedictory service for you into a life of pain. No, sir. Hallelujah. One day you get up and carry your family. Where are you going to? We are going for a Hillsong conference in Australia. You mean it? Yes. Yes, sir. We are going there. And we are sitting down. He said, you mean this is how your whole life? He said, this is how it is, so. I don't know about you. I so thank God I'm a man. Because you can design the life the way. Ladies, don't feel bad. Just pray. That's it. I will never spend my life bowing to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. No, sir. No, sir. How can I call on your name and end up in shame? No way. No way. How can I bow down before you and then bow down before a man? No way. Because you are my God. Men may not believe it. They think we are jokers. But you are my God. You are, you are, you are, you are. You are my God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Let me round up. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, brothers and sisters, I am not unaware of the pain you are going through. I'm not a fool. I know that there are constraints, there are pains that you are going through. But my Bible, greater than any constitution of any republic, the Bible says, for I know, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory, doxa, that shall be revealed. The weightiness of God in us. In us. The Bible says, for the earnest expectation of your family, of your lineage, not just of creation. Listen, some of you are listening to me and the devil is telling you, don't mind that man. It has never been done in your lineage. Go and study it. And God says, you are the one I'm raising on. I'm raising you to make a spectacle to principalities and powers, that curses can be subdued, that yokes can be broken. Listen, God is looking for men, that he's looking for a generation. He said, this is the generation that seeks thee. Let me tell you, there is a generation that will seek God as a vocation. Not now, there are individuals, there are churches,
But there will come a generation, an age range, where what they do is to seek God. Church services every day. Every day, not just on Sunday. As one convention is finishing, another one is starting. And you can attend it because you have conquered the forces that keep men busy, bowing down to the status of Nebuchadnezzar. What to eat, what to wear. That's what drives people to walk in the morning. You are supposed to walk, but the purpose is not just make your ends meet. It's a revelation of the glory of the Father. Disabuse your thinking from this servitude mentality. God wants to raise us, but it will happen by engaging his systems. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lord, I exempt myself. I exempt myself. Shakatakatakata. I exempt myself. I exempt myself. I exempt myself. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. There is a generation that will serve God. There is a generation that will seek the God of Jacob. Not seeking money, not seeking power. We will conquer wealth. We will conquer all the things that distract men. So that the only time that will be left is in advancing the cause of the kingdom and improving the living of men. Pray. Listen, I look forward to times where our doctors will set up hospitals that are 10 times the size of Shika, and everybody who comes, half the price was already covered by a kingdom financier. Yes, sir, for a hospital, not a church, not a church. You meet someone and there is a surgery happening. That person is about dying because they don't have money. Here comes a kingdom financier. What did you say is happening? I love God and I love his creation too much. Please treat the person. Listen. Let me tell you this. Please don't ever think I'm just making noise. This is prophecy. It will happen. You may throw yourself out, but it will happen. Hallelujah. A time in the history of the church where there are men who walk to reveal the glory of God. They are so blessed they don't discuss money again. Hallelujah. I heard about the net worth of one very funny person like that, and the thing pained me because I read an article about a church that was building their cathedral and the amount was so meager. They borrowed loan from a bank and the bank was harassing them, harassing the pastor. They wrote all kinds of things and insulted the man, and they said the man plunged into depression and died. I think it was last week or week before last. When I had that thing, it pained me. I said, in the vision God showed this guy, death was not part of it. It was something that killed this man. Yet there is someone answering the kingdom of darkness and has more than 100 times what that church is praying for. Please, don't tell me that is the will of God. Get up in the morning. You are doing this job today. You are doing this one tomorrow. God calls you, say, sorry, God, I have to pay my child's school fees. No, sir. Some of our parents may not have gotten it right. We don't have to mock them. But you have to stand and say, Lord, for the sake of my children, I will pay this price. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I pay the price. If my father, if my mother knew better, they would do better. But now that I know this, oh God, I will pay the price. I will pay the price. Lift your voice. I will pay the price. No joking with my life. I will pay the price. I will pay the price. Lift your voice and pray. Engaging the systems of the kingdom. Not only believing them. Not only having access to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like you to lift your voice and cry that the spirit of disobedience, the spirit of spiritual laziness, that does not allow you engage the word. You just keep wishing, no, no, sir, no, ma. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, the grace to put the word to work. Lord, I confess I've not been a faithful tither. Pray. I stop playing games with my destiny tonight. Lord, I confess my prayer life has gone down. My word life has gone down. Lord, I confess I'm not serious with my destiny. As a gentleman, God has called me into ministry, but I'm not giving it the attention it requires. They're admiring people, fighting people, gossiping, and trying to make a name for myself. I settle down with destiny. 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 Hallelujah. Listen, let me give you a little assignment. When you go back home tonight, I want you to write specific goals, things you are doing. This issue of doing everything, I'm on a mission to rising financially. I'm on a mission to knowing God. I'm on a mission to accessing the healing anointing. Don't just study randomly and move. No, write things. The Lord is calling me into ministry. And he told me the ministry is starting February next year. But from now till February, I am engaging this. I need to know the mystery behind speed. I need to know what keeps members. You write it and sit down. I've not been faithful in tithing. That means I've not had a revelation about it. The issue is not just to carry money and start running. The issue is to sit down and say, this month, I'm going to take a course. I'm going to take a study on it. Who has written books in this area? And you sit down. Who has done a very comprehensive, balanced, not hungry, manipulative teaching on it? And you study. That's how you grow. You carry your issue of concern, put it before you. Close your eyes to every other thing until that mountain crumbles. Don't leave it. That's how winners work. But all this one of try today, if it's too hard, you turn this direction, you will still meet it there. Stay there and win. Did you hear what I said? Stay there and win. Let me tell you, in my little life, I can tell you there is no mountain that is not surmountable. It's a lie. Don't listen to anybody that talks to you like that. Is not your friend. Don't go near them again. I want you to write a list of the mountains before you. Pray, dance, but sit down. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. Shakato kata kata. You read a book. You check something. There's got to be a way. Then you enjoy the beauty of triumph. Brothers and sisters, triumph is sweet when you conquer your challenges. You live as if Satan does not exist. There is such a realm. It is my desire with all my heart, among other things, that God will bring not just this ministry. He has helped in a measure, not just me, but every one of us. Not just to a level of spiritual awakening. I'm trusting God for an avalanche of, do you know how you conquer poverty? Like you put it under your feet. This is what God will do in this ministry and with people. And you watch people serve God. All this obsession for money that runs people to hell. Ladies marrying for money, brothers doing this, people leaving God for money, all kinds of nonsense. And we can focus on God. Then there will be prayer altars afresh that seek God for him, not for what he can bring. There will be men and women who can study. There are some of you, there are books locked up in your spirit for nations. But suffering will not let those books come out. Because all you are thinking now is, oh God, let me just look for something to eat. We depress ourselves and have high blood pressure to death. Whereas there is a way, a noble way, where you spend your life. At the end of your life, like David, you say, like Paul, you say, I have fought the fight, good fight. I have finished my course. You have poured yourself like a drink offering. Nothing left again. Are we together? The last prayer point, and we are done for this night. I'd like you to cry and say, God, hold my hands.
and insist that I don't stop until I get to the place of destiny. Hold my hands. I ask you to. He held the hands of Peter. Some of you in your quest to obey God, you have seen things nosedive in your life. Cry and say, Lord, hold my hands. Hold my hands. Hold my hands, oh God. Stop me from sinking and lift me up. Use my life as a spectacle to show what you can do with the anointing, to show what you can do with influence, to show what you can do with men and women who are passionate about agenda.
I will search for you and I will find you. I will find you with all my heart. I will lift my hands to you in worship. And I will worship with all my heart.
I'm leading a generation to seek him. Lord, we will search for you and we will find you.
We will find you with all our hearts. We will lift our hands to you in worship. And we will worship.
Rounding up, before I make the altar call, listen to me. I want to encourage, hold on guys, I want to encourage every brother here. You are a brother. When you go back home this night, please, please do this. Go and get a notebook. Sit down. Use this weekend. Please. Thank God there's holiday. Today, tomorrow, Sunday. Even if it's 1 hour, please. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Find somewhere alone. Everybody say alone. Not with your neighbor, not group. Find somewhere alone. Whether it's one forest somewhere or outside near one tree, one dam somewhere, and just sit down with a notebook and a paper. Don't carry any book. Just go and stay there and say, Holy Spirit, I'm rededicating my destiny, not my life, to you. You are the only one who can help me. This ministry you are giving me, this business, this life, this family is too much for me. I am ready to receive your wisdom. And it will shock you what God will do for you in that retreat. Don't do it sitting in your room or your parlor. No, no, no. Find a place. Go somewhere. If you see someone there, find another corner somewhere. One grass somewhere. One uncompleted building of a school somewhere. Just hang around somewhere, even if it's for 1 hour. Take a time of inventory. The way I'm living my life, am I going to make it? Are we together? This is called self-supervision. Sit down. The way I'm running my family, are we going to rise this way? The way I'm living my life, am I going to be great this way? The time I am giving God, will this time really birth his glory in me? And then come up by the Spirit with resolutions. The Lord will show you areas. The Lord will show you things. Ladies, you can do it too. I'm not saying it's just for guys and then ladies lazy around. This is everybody's destiny. Carry a notebook. Flog it out somewhere. Let me tell you the second thing I want you to do. Please hear me and don't be offended with what I'm telling you. You have to search for the names and numbers of certain people and delete them out of your phone. I repeat, you have to search for the names, comma, and the numbers of certain people and do what? Delete them out of your phone. I promise you, being a friend of everybody will not give you your destiny. Are we together? There are people who are not bad, they are not demonic, but they are too distracting to accommodate them. Their distraction to your destiny is not worth it. Let them be. The day you can always recall them. But for now, you are on a project. Some of you may need to trust God to get a place, whether off here or get a small room with somebody. You just need to pay whatever price it will take to allow you to build this great destiny. Are we together?
Yes.
Some of you may need to minimize certain useless visitations. Visitations that don't make sense. From pillar to post, flying around. No. Some of you may need to minimize movies. I'm not saying movies are wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But let me tell you, you are not going to spend your whole life watching movies and you make it in life. No, sir. Is that true? Some of us may need to minimize sleep. Sleep. Snore your way time is going. The Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand, poverty comes upon you like an arm bandit. Some of us may need to minimize food. Please, I'm not saying starve yourself, don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, gluttony is killing some of us. Killing some of us. Some of us need to reduce your three phones to one. The two are not doing anything. They are distracting you. Distracting you. Some of you need to reduce the number of social media platforms. Except you are there maybe on business or something. You are on every social media platform. Your phone is beeping per second. Some of us may need to off our phones. That's what you need. For that 1-2 hours, off it. There is nothing that is too urgent. Off it and spend time with God. These are the things that distract people who have potentials of greatness. The Holy Spirit wants to make greatness out of people. But we keep getting distracted. If you can pay this price, I promise you. You may not like me now for what I'm telling you. But tomorrow you will see me and say, thank you, sir. The person who loves you is the person who tells you the truth. No matter how uncomfortable. I love you too much to leave you the way you are. There is a level of anointing you must enter. There is a level of influence you must enter. I want God to do business with you. That you will rise to become a voice for His Majesty. This is what He's looking for. Father, we give you the glory tonight. You have challenged us tonight. This is more than a sermon. This is the heart of God pounding on your destiny. The Lord is challenging us very truthfully and seriously. Tonight, there are ladies and gentlemen, men and women standing here. Whilst you heard me teach, the Holy Ghost began to speak to you that you need to correct your life and run to Jesus. Now please, everyone, keep standing. No movement. There are people in this place tonight that are saying, Lord, I need to run to you. Perhaps you're coming here for the first time and you have always laughed at men of God every time they made altar calls. The Lord is speaking to you that tonight is your own turn. Or at one point you have given your heart to the Lord, but things just went haywire. Your life scattered and you joined it and just, you know, destroyed the path of glory that you were following. Followed friends, followed every kind of thing, made a mess of your life. And you are saying, man of God, can He receive me back? Absolutely. And tonight, wherever you are, our time is gone. I want you to take a bold and a serious step. A bold, and it must be serious. You must come here meaning it from your heart. Wherever you are, inside, outside, please, I'd like you to make that bold step right now and come up, even as we appreciate them. Quickly. Quickly. Lord, I'm tired of playing games with my life. You're welcome. Quickly. Let's clear the way for them as they're coming. Please encourage them. Encourage them. Apostle, I've always been a nice guy. It's just that I can't remember making this altar call. Join them. Join them. I'm not sure. My father is a pastor. I've grown in a pastor's house. Join them. Join them. Please join them. Whether I overflow 1, 2, 3, wherever you are, join them. God bless you. Apostle, I don't want people to see me. Forget about that. Please join them and come. Join them quickly. Keep coming. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Please allow them come. If they are coming, keep coming. Above Him there's no other. If you are still joining them, please rush and come. Those of you who are here, I truly congratulate you with all my heart. I know that you are standing here. Some of you are handing your life over to Jesus for the first time. Some of you are rededicating your life. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, Jesus is not a religion. Jesus is not an opinion. He is life. He will truly give you a new beginning. Hallelujah. Now lift your right hand and say after me very clearly. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again, Lord Jesus. I love you with all my heart. I come before you tonight, just as I am. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to give me a new beginning. I declare that you are Lord of my life. You are my Savior. You are my King. I receive eternal life tonight into my spirit. And I declare that from tonight, I'm a child of God. I am saved. I am delivered in the name of Jesus. Keep your hands lifted. Lord Jesus, who but you is able to save men? Who but you is able to show mercy and grace? Lord, I decree and declare that these ones who have come unashamedly standing before you and standing before your people, let this be a new beginning for them. In the name of Jesus, I declare your sins forgiven, and I declare that the power of Satan, sin, hell, the grave is broken over your life. I decree and declare that the grace to live a victorious life, the hunger for God and for the things of God is planted in your heart tonight. From today, you will go higher and higher and higher in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I declare that the Lord Himself will bless and honor and lift you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, please, all of you, I want you to follow. There is a gentleman that will be waving his hands. This lady, my dear, look at me. You. I want you to meet Pastor Alpha. This girl, while they are going, meet Pastor Alpha. Please, I want you to personally counsel this lady. I saw something that, please, you counsel her and God will help you in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, please, all of you. God bless you. God bless you. Let's appreciate them very quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, call 081-38-32-5463 or 0803350-8735 or 0034003936. You can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaTurnkey Network International or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/KoinoniaKNI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Turnkey Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.